You know what Emmanuel means,
Jesus.
Don't you know? Didn't you just hear how the testimonies pointed to Emmanuel? God is with us. God is with us. Did you hear that when he was sitting in his car and the bullet went through, God was with him when he was driving his car along a road that he should not have been on, and that's okay, and over in the ditch and 2 foot, God was with. Did you not hear that God is with us every day of our lives? I don't care what it is that you go through. God is with you when you say the 91st Psalm, when you pray over your children down through generation to generation, generation to generation, God is with us. He's never not been with us. That's what he came to do, was to be with us, to save us, to put his spirit on the inside, that we would never ever be alone. We are not abandoned. We are not an afterthought. We were his fourth. Somebody don't understand today. God is with you, Emmanuel. Yeah. Somebody needs to understand today. You will never, ever, ever be. Somebody can tell a testimony how God has been with them before they even knew who God was. Somebody prayed over you, and because they prayed over you, God covered you. Somebody taught somebody.
My God.
Amen.
My God. My God. Oh, you're so worthy, Jesus.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your being with us. We thank you, Lord, down through the years, Lord God. You've always been by us. We thank you, Lord God, how you have made a way. We thank you, Lord, how you've brought us through danger, seen and unseen. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being our salvation, Lord God. We thank you for being our provider. We thank you, Lord God, for being the awesome God who sits high, that no other God can compete with. God. No other God is like you. We thank you for Jesus the Christ. We thank you, Father God, and we declare to you, we give you glory, Lord. Now, Father, speak to us as you continue to draw us closer, Lord God. Speak to us as you continue to make clear the steps that we should take. Continue and speak to us, Lord God, as you make sure that you are dividing the wheat from the tares. Continue, Lord God, as we thank you, Father, that you have given us assignments to do, to share the good news, that somebody else, Lord God, would know of your love and surrender their lives. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to invite your attention to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians. And if you're looking at the screen, you see it already. And it's the second chapter of Philippians, verses 12 through 16. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The book of Philippians. And I'm going to read the King James Version first, and then I'm going to read another version also. But it reads, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain."
My God.
And then we're going to read it from the Message Bible, the Message Bible. And the Message Bible says it this way. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing.
My God.
And God just wants to encourage us today, doubling down on Jesus.
My God.
Doubling down on Jesus. On Jesus. On Jesus. Doubling down. And some of you might know what that term means, and somebody might not, but you know, I don't know. If you go to the casino, you probably know what it means, okay? If you're a blackjack player, you probably know what it means. In that terms, it says what? To double the original bid, double the original bid in exchange for one more card. I'm gonna double down. I'm trying to make a whole lot more because I got two aces or whatever the cards are, two face cards, two jacks or whatever. I want to double this down. I'm only going to take one card. That means in a sense that if I win, I get a whole lot more than I put in, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the gambling. That's the world side. But it means what? To become more tenacious, zealous, or resolute in a position or undertaking, to be more convicted and more tenacious and more energy going into a position or undertaking. Strengthens one's commitment to a particular strategy or course of action, typically one that is potentially risky. It means that I'm gonna take a stand on a position because I believe in this position, but it might have some risk to it. It might have some risk to it. And I don't know about you, but when I look at definition number two and definition number three, it describes our world today. Mm. It describes what we stand in the position to either do or not to do, to double down on what? My faith, or to let the world tell me who I am, to double down on what God has told me, or to let the world tell me what you can or cannot do. I don't know about you, but today, in these times, in 2020, it is time for us to double down, y'all. And we're not doubling down on the casino table. We're not doubling down on the lottery. We're not doubling down on my investments in my bank account. No, or your bank account. We're doubling down on Jesus.
Yes.
We're going to double down, and we're going to double down on Jesus. Well, why do we need to double down on Jesus? Well, let's just look at the current state of affairs. We've entered what many call the Advent season. The Advent season. Now, hold on, y'all. Before y'all start going, well, I don't do Advent and all that stuff, I'm going to tell you, you do Advent. You just don't celebrate it like the world celebrates it. And I'll prove my point in just a little bit here. Advent season. Advent. First, if you're going to talk about Advent season, you need to know what Advent means. Advent means anticipation. It's anticipation. Now, there's been Advent since the beginning of time. But over the course of time, people have celebrated it differently. But all are living under the idea of Advent. You don't have to believe me. Some of you are living, want to know when I can leave my house again. That's Advent. It's anticipation. Some of you are right now thinking, okay, I can't wait to pastor stop preaching because I'm going to be ready to eat. That's Advent. That's living in anticipation. I got some jokes in here too, y'all. But others are living in Advent because guess what? When we live in Advent and live in anticipation that Christ is coming back, that's living in Advent. When we look years ago when they talked about Advent and where the word was originated, they were looking in anticipation of the Messiah. Today, some are still waiting and living in anticipation of the Messiah. Why? They don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. I don't know about you, but let me talk to our young people. They're living in that pit when mom and daddy will leave me alone and let me make my decision. Say amen, one of your young people. I know what it's like. I've been there, done that. I try to understand, but parents got to do what a parent's got to do. Some of us are living in that pit that what? We can get a better job. Some are living in that pit that, oh, I don't want to work no more. I want to retire. Some are living in that pit that, well, you just get off my third nerve. Nobody wants to say amen. You know you want somebody to get off your nerve. You know you want somebody to leave you alone. If I could be a mind reader, some of y'all say, Pastor, will you stop that stuff? Just tell me all the good stuff. Don't talk about the rest of that. I understand, but that's Advent. We're living in anticipation. But this season of Advent is not being celebrated the way it normally does. It's been polluted by our society. Let me show you how. They sell Advent calendars every day. So most people think Advent is only about the Christian faith. That is not about the Catholic faith. That is not true. Advent is a part of all faiths that were lived. The Jewish people understand Advent. They do it all year long. They don't necessarily do it for Christmas time, but they live in Advent, the anticipation of what God will do.
I'm doing pretty good.
So guess what? There are calendars. And somebody hey, saying,
Pastor, are you moving the slides? Or are you trying to move slides? Or are we just still on the double down screen?
We're on the double down screen.
Okay, I'm sorry. You said let me show you, so I thought you were trying to move.
No, I didn't move. We're just on the double down screen.
Okay, thank you.
Verbalized. And so what happens is they'll sell Advent calendars, became commercialized, that have scripture readings, and every day. And you might have somebody say, I want to share an Advent reading with you. They're going to share some scriptures with you of what it means. And so that's the commercialism of what has happened under the guise of faith. We're in Advent today. Look, we're in Advent. How many of you have ordered something and you're not sure your packet's going to come in time for Christmas? Don't say amen or I know you ordered something for Christmas, right? No, I'm just teasing. People today are running, they're panicking. Yesterday they said 250 million packages will not get delivered in time for Christmas because the capacity is so much greater than what's ever been the norm before. But the norm was never that what? You couldn't go out and shop.
I'm going by phone. The Zoom has kicked me out. I don't know why.
Okay.
We're gonna continue to talk and know that God is what? He's providing and everything. So I was talking about this Advent season, So what we're going to talk about is doubling down on Jesus. And it's right here in the scripture. So the first thing we do is when we talk about doubling down on Jesus, we look at Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And what did he say? He said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as what in my presence only, but what now more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is what God which worketh in you both to do and to will. And I want to go back and read that in the Message Bible, because the message says, wait a minute, what I'm getting at, friends, what I'm getting at is that you should simply keep doing what you're doing and what you've done from the beginning. What is it about? Keep on loving Christ. Keep on loving one another. Keep on what? Make it a way of showing what? Kindness and sharing the message one with another. Keep on following after the thing that God, with Jesus the Christ, has given you. He said, when I was among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Because I was there watching you, because I was there with you and showing you, you were obedient. But now that I'm not there, that's okay. That's okay. Keep doing it.
Yes.
He said, redouble your efforts. Redouble your efforts. Do more than you used to do. Make sure you give extra special effort. And I don't know about you, but in this time, we're talking about this time is 2020 is coming to an end. Advent season, the real part with Advent was looking to the anticipation of the Savior, looking forward to what we call Christmas Day, which is Christ's birthday, that Jesus would be born. That's what they were living in anticipation. And that's what we don't live in anticipation for his birthday. We live in anticipation for what? His return.
Amen.
So it's moved from one level to the next level, but we got to double down. Not double down on the Christmas tree and the Christmas gift and the more money and the better job, but double down to guess what? I'm going to make sure somebody knows about the truth of Jesus. Somebody knows about the love of Jesus. The best gift I can give you is the gift of salvation, which comes through Jesus Christ. As I point you to Christ, as I pray over you all the years until you get it for yourself, Then all of a sudden, I anticipate that you become part of my heritage. I anticipate you become part of my joy. I anticipate that you become part of the great reunion that we're going to anticipate together. Christ is returning, and when Christ returns, oh, hallelujah, you want to see a party like there's never been a party. There will be a praise party that nobody could ever see before.
Yeah. Amen.
But we live in this anticipation. Yes, so today, my question to you, as we're living in this anticipation, what have you done for Christmas season, for this Advent season, to share the good news with somebody else?
My God.
Mm. I know you bought them a gift. I know you're going to have some toys, but what have you done that they would know the love of Jesus? What has your enemy done to you that you say, you know something? I know I don't like what you did to me. I know you hate me. That's okay, but I'm going to give you a gift, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Oh, by the way, I know I'm hurting, and I know I shouldn't go out the door, but I'm going to find a way that I can tell you about Jesus. I know you don't like the color of my skin. I know you don't like my political party, and it goes both ways, y'all, but I'm going to find a way to share the good news and the love of Jesus. I know that things are crazy. I know there seems to be no peace, but when I find a way to share the good news about Jesus, because I'm looking in anticipation, I know that there will be peace. Somebody said, we'll never have peace. Oh, yeah, I got peace every day.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't have peace when I'm looking to the left and looking to the right. But when I look into the author and the finisher, when I look to Jesus the Christ, I got peace. Why? Because this spirit is on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. You don't have to believe me. Let me tell you what anticipation does. If you go to the book of Acts in the 9th chapter and in verse 35, in the book of Acts in the 9th chapter and verse 35, and y'all know Acts 9 is what? That's the book that what? Paul was converted in the 9th chapter, saw when he was on the Damascus Road. But I'm talking about further after that, down in verse 35, there was somebody who was looking in anticipation. It said that all that dwelt at Lydia and Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. All that dwelt there, they what? Turned to the Lord. Why? Because somebody shared the word. Peter had healed somebody who was sick. Peter had made sure that there were things that were done. You understand that? Because Peter was sharing and showing who Christ was. Later in that chapter, further down, you get down about 40, there was somebody named Tabitha, and Tabitha was not well. But Peter, what? He kneeled down and prayed, what, on the side of the bed, and then he said, Tabitha, arise. So he was looking in anticipation because he knew what Christ had told him.
Yes.
Had showed him, had done for him. He said, I'm going to give what anticipation, and what Tabitha arose. Now, I don't want you to stop there. Go home and read. When you're at home now, go and read the 10th chapter, because God shows how anticipation works. There was a man named Cornelius, right? He was a centurion with a band of the Italian band. But guess what? He wasn't of the same heritage, but that's okay. But he was a devout man. And the Spirit, they spoke to him, said, in anticipation. None of that. As he prepared Cornelius, he prepared Peter. Peter went to eat. Peter went up on the roof to pray. And guess what? God said, oh, Peter, I want to talk to you. There's some folks that ain't clean. Peter said, I have nothing to do with that stuff that's unclean. He said, but wait a minute, Peter. I'm going to show you a better way. He said, they coming to get you, Peter. And now that you understand you didn't do it, now you got to go live what you said. You got to go speak to them who are you considered unclean before.
My God.
Because the Gentiles, the Jews didn't mess with the Gentiles, right? You got to go speak to those who are different. Y'all know how we get. White, yeah, black, no. We get all divided today. It ain't about that. It's about Christ. So Peter had to leave on the rooftop conversation with God. He had to go and double down on Jesus. He couldn't double down on his heritage. He couldn't double down on the tradition. He had to double down on Jesus. But when he went and doubled down on Jesus, look what happened.
My God.
Salvation came to Cornelius' home. So today, what are you doubling down on? Well, you double down on Matthew 6:33. Uh-oh. Nothing else matters, y'all. Just 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God and his righteousness, and all of these things what shall be added unto you. So you don't double down that, okay, I got my salvation. You don't double down that, you know, my family's covered. You double down that you're seeking God first, and when you seek his kingdom and everything within it, then he's got more work for you to do.
Yes.
We live in a world that's doubling down on the things we can see, even when the things we can see ain't the truth. I don't know about anybody here. Somebody's doubled down. They doubled down on Christmas. Somebody here, you've doubled down on your relationships. Somebody else has doubled down. And maybe not just in this place, but across this world, they've doubled down on what they know. What do you know? You've doubled down on your anger. Hallelujah, Jesus. We've doubled down on the things that are not of Christ. We've doubled. Hallelujah, Jesus. We've doubled down on what we can plan. We've doubled down on what we can see. But today I encourage you that you need to double down on Jesus.
Yes.
On Jesus. Well, That's the first point. Doubling down on Jesus. That's the first point. Second point today is that I won't complain. No grumbling or disputings. It is right here. Right. We're not going to get through all of this today, but that's okay because we're going to spend some time in December talking about what God wants. So the second point in doubling down is I won't complain. No grumbling or disputing. This is in the scripture. All you got to do is read verses 14 and 15. You see it there, don't you? You see it there, don't you? What does 14 and 15 say?
My God.
Then look, do all things. Not some things. Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as the lights in the world. Okay, and let me just read what the Message Bible says. He says it this way. He said, look, do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Oh my goodness. Oh, look at God tell us to double the I won't complain. Say, look, do everything readily and cheerfully. When you serve Christ, when you're doing what Christ called for you to do, be happy about it.
My God.
Be happy about it. Cheerfully, not complaining, readily, cheerfully. Then the second thing, that's the murmuring is the first thing. And then he said disputing. Now, we tend to think about disputing as bickering one with another, but there's another reason what disputing means. It talks about in your mind. This thing starts in your mind before it ever hits somebody else.
My God.
Stop second guessing what God has told you to do and do what he says. The only reason we second guess because we think, and y'all know the scripture, what? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Not against the flesh and blood, but what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. It starts in our mind, and the enemy plants a seed. I know what I'm talking about, but just this morning, the enemy started to plant seeds, and all of a sudden, he was trying to rest. And I was thinking about this word, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me peace in my mind. My wife was told to go upstairs and pray for anything that would come against the word. She didn't say nothing to me. She just knew that there was something going on. So stop this thing so that we can have peace. All this internet stuff, that's the enemy trying to stop that you hear the truth. We got to do what? No victory and no second guessing. We double down on Jesus. Yeah. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We double down on Jesus. Ain't no amount of gifts for Christmas going to do us any good. We double down on Jesus. Ain't no amount of artificial joy, whether it's marijuana, alcohol, sex, or drugs, or it's gossiping, or we just do my own thing and stay in my own place. That ain't going to do no good, because if you stay in your own place and you don't listen to what God says, you ain't going to tell nobody about the anticipation of Christ the King. So that don't work either. So we got to be about God's business.
Yes. My
and
God.
I just got to go to somebody's testimony. Somebody said, and I'll just use Helen Baylor, that I had a praying grandmother. Miss Lisa said, I got that same, I got a praying grandmother. When I didn't go to church, she still made me, when I didn't know what I was even doing, she taught me one scripture. That's the word of God that was pointing to Christ. What, Psalms 91, you ain't got to know the whole story. You just
my God.
Know what God is to do.
My Jesus, God, my God.
That's enough for me. I won't complain, and that's enough for me. Lord, keep doing, bless you, and that's enough for me. But whatever he says, focus on that, because all of that points to the anticipation. All of that pointed to his birth. So Christmas said, God came down here in a peculiar way, born in a manger. We sing Silent Night, Holy, Holy, Holy. We sing about the wise men, but that's an anticipation. For the anticipation, because Christ came, but we know better today that he came to save us. We know he did it. We know he's done it. And now he's coming back to get us without spot of...
My God. Thank you, Lord.
So double down, double down. Double down, double down. I'm not double down on the world. I'm not doubling down on any of the stuff with the world. I'm not doubling down on political parties. I'm not doubling down on racism.
My God,
I'm
my
not
God.
Doubling it down because you look like me and worship like me. Folks are running and leaving and going all over the place. Folks are lying and folks are lying on both sides. Folks don't want to come together. And we make the decisions not on what Christ said, but what we think, because we're thinking too much and it's causing a division. He said, but do it without murmuring. Do it without arguing, do it without thinking too much, and double down.
My God. My God.
Double down, double, double down, double down. And when you double down on Christ, when you double down on Christ, let me tell you what you would do. First thing you're going to do is in Peter, 1 Peter 5, it said, 6, 7, said, uh-oh, when I double down on Christ, when I double down on Jesus, he said, what? I'm going to humble myself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may, what? Exalt you in due time, what? Casting all your cares upon him, what? For he cares for you. When you double down on Christ, you're not going to have to worry what nobody thinks. When you double down on Christ, some of your old habits are going to go away. You can't keep doing some of the same things that you've always. Sometimes God has to let you back to your step. When you double down on Jesus, you used to always be in that old place that you never got anywhere on time. But when you double down on Jesus, you're going to get there. You used to always have a negative opinion. You used to always have a worldly opinion. But when you double down on Jesus, those worldly things start to cease, because all you know is Christ and Christ. When you double down on Jesus, when things start coming at you and they just start upsetting you and they just start saying, like, nothing's going to go right, you double down on Jesus. And even when you can't pray for yourself, somebody else is praying for you. Somebody else has a word. Somebody else is going to see. I come to tell you, Destiny, you need to understand, today we need to double down. Many of you, you might not see what we've been doing for 6 years, but I got to tell you, through this month, you're going to see how we've been doubling down on Jesus and how Jesus has been working. We are changing lives. We are changing corporations. We are changing people's situations. We are changing their perspective. And know that perspective is not it, but it's about the truth. You can't put it all together yet, but God says, I am who I am. I'm doing what I'm doing. You keep saying, get re-energized. Double your efforts, because we're doubling down on Jesus.
Yes.
No, you can't Jesus. Put it together. You look through the same eyes. No, you need to look through the eyes of Christ. You're looking for numbers.
Yes.
We're looking for numbers. I met with pastors this week, and somebody said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe we're getting this thing wrong. We're all around here worried about our numbers. We're all around here worried if people will come back from COVID. He said what we ought to be praying about, what we ought to be talking about is how do we make sure that the people who are here doing what God wants them to do just keep doing that, because it don't take a whole lot of folks. It don't take 1,000 folks to affect the life. It don't take 1,000 folks to make a difference. It don't take 150 folks to have somebody come. They know if the work that you do is exciting and for Christ, then it makes a difference in somebody's life. There's a term called ecclesia, and we'll talk about that later, about the body of Christ and what we're supposed to do in the world and in the government. Guess what? Destiny, we're doing that. When you let the light so shine before men today, see the work that Christ is doing to you, you're taking your role in the government. That's why people are changing corporations. That's why people are changing households. That's why people are calling people, because they say, what is it? What is it? What is it? I got records. I got a testimony of how there are a couple pastors that the Jewish rabbis call them every week. And all they can say is, when I talk to you, when I talk to you, you bring me peace. That ain't
my God. My God.
That's what I'm talking about. When you double down on Jesus. No, I ain't got to go have no Bible study. No, I ain't got to argue about the word. No, I got to let the light of Christ shine. And the light of Christ is his love. The light of Christ is his peace. The light of Christ is an anointing that no matter who comes into the presence, they must bow down.
Yes.
So will you double down on Jesus today?
That's
part one.
Jesus.
That's part one. There's part two, but that's next week. God commands us. You can't see the screen. We said what? God commands you to stop worrying. That's what we talked about last week. And the only way to stop worrying is to double down on Jesus. And next week, I'm going to show you in the Word of God how when you double down on Jesus, there's a word. We're going to look at the book of Ephesians. There's a word that tells us what? How to stop grumbling and how to stop disputing and how to stop playing. So before next week, read the first chapter of Ephesians. If you read the first chapter of Ephesians, you'll be ready to shout on the word next week. But God shows you how you can overcome these things. So in the name of Jesus, we say thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you in the name of your spirit, Father God, in your name, Father God, that you would just move among your people today. Somebody, Father God, they don't know you that's on this call. Somebody, Father God, they're trying to decide where they should go. Somebody, Father God, they're interceding for somebody else. And we say thank you today, Lord God.
My God, my God.
As we watch you move, as we watch you do, as we watch your power go before us, Lord God, we'll be still, Lord God, and move at your command. We'll be still, Lord God, and so we will do the things that you called us to do. We shall not be afraid. You've given us victory, Lord. You prepared us. You told us by the hand of the Almighty. We've been set free.
Yes.
Healed and delivered, Lord God. This tiny band, one by one, Lord God. You have anointed because your spirit lives within us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So today, Father God, we give you the glory. And we just say thank you. Lord, we live in anticipation for your return. Oh, hallelujah, God. Oh, to behold your face. Until then, Lord God, we're going to work until our day is done.